I'm delighted to be joined by Katie Flavin here in the studio, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about emotional well-being. Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Hello, Eric. How are you?
I'm very good. Tell us, first of all, what is emotional well-being?
Well, I like to look at it at emotional intelligence and intellectual intelligence, and it's ironic that we're here again today. And this week, the Leaving Cert results are coming out for 55,000, I think, students. Plus, and I suppose the intellectual intelligence they will have known about because they've done the work and they're waiting for the results. And yet the emotional intelligence is going to be how they're going to react to that Leaving Cert this week. And some are going to be excited and ecstatic, and more are going to be satisfied, and others will be disappointed. And in life, I believe that life happens for us and not to us. And I think it's going to be 90% how they react to their results, and 10% is actually going to be the Leaving Cert results itself.
Yeah.
Initially, of course, emotionally, they're going to be maybe traumatised by the result. And yet, I'd say to everyone, them sit back and have a good look at it and take a breath and, you know, move forward from there.
But how easy is it to say that to a 17 or an 18-year-old to this the Leaving Cert results to them, this is the biggest event in their life so far, probably. And you know, they're building this up really, really big. So that probably compounds the problems for them if there's a bad result, or, you know, so like are they built to deal with this?
I feel myself that it's their expectation of life, really. And it's not let alone about their Leaving Cert result. It's about going forward and everything that will happen to them in life. And I'm, I suppose, older in the tooth now, and I have come across many different things in my life, and we have losses in many different ways, and I suppose the Leaving Cert result is probably maybe the first stepping stone for them. And yet, out of our greatest pain in life, I think we can actually even achieve a lot more. Mm. It's about how they will actually look at it and how their parents will look at it. And, you know, of course they're going to be disappointed. That is going to be a natural reaction. If they are disappointed with the result. And I think it's just having the self-belief within themselves just to step for that moment and say, well, how bad is it really?
Yeah.
You know, ask yourself that question, that logic question. And I think for parents as well, it's important that way.
Yeah.
And I can still remember, I think, the Leaving Cert results. One of my children, she was very disappointed with an Irish result, and she couldn't see the rest of the page. And actually, the rest of the page was so good in comparison to just that one result,
yeah,
that she forgot to look at the rest of it.
And I suppose that's inbuilt or ingrained in us to look at probably the negative side of something rather than the positive side. For most people, is that the situation?
Because it's ironic that we're conditioned between the age of 0 and 7. And we've learned before, imagine we're 7 years of age.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's how we have learned to react to it, is, as you say, to see always the whole rather than what's full in it.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's encouraging them even beforehand, and I know some children probably will still react to it, but it's being there for them and being their support, really, and saying, really, how bad is it?
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody, you know.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, like, you know, we were talking a little bit off air there a while ago about kids now. You know, everything now is an instant fix. You know, and they don't have to work through stuff anymore. And is that something that's missing in young people at the moment? You know, that they can't work, they can't go and solve the problem emotionally, I'm talking about here now, or, you know, rather than...
I suppose I was one myself. I am still a parent, and would I have said I was probably over-involved in their lives, really, and over-protective. And I suppose as they've got older, and I am certainly after getting older, I've learned to step back and take my hands off, because I now realise that the less I'm involved, the better for them.
Yeah.
And even as children, it's funny that we get involved when they're fighting and arguing with one another or whatever, instead of letting them actually develop that skill, because it's actually a skill to learn.
Yeah.
And if we learn these skills along the way as children, we'll be able to cope with the different things in life that are thrown to us.
And is the likes of social media and the world we're living in today, is that suppressing a lot of those skills?
Well, I would say it is, but then children could say that I'm old-fashioned, even though I do use social media myself. And I feel myself with Facebook and social media is that most people put up everything that's good. And I don't agree that in life that we don't have positive and negative. I know we live in a world of where everyone says, oh, you must be positive. But really, is it true? I question it from the point of view of, after all, we have night and day and we have darkness and light. And, you know, I got here today in my car and there's a positive and negative in that battery. And only for the negative, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
So I don't agree that everything in life is positive. I do feel, though, it's about how we learn how to react to it. And I firmly believe that 90% is how we react to everything. 10% is really what happens. And that's where I come from in it.
And what can people do to improve their emotional state and as you say, and have that positive reaction to something that may be negative?
Well, it's amazing, Eric. Like, there's 4,000 words that actually describe the word emotion in Google, or maybe even more. Yet I ask you yourself even here today, how many words do you use in a week, or how many emotions do you feel out of those 4,000 words in a week? So on average, the Googles tell us that we use about 6 of each, 6 good and 6 bad, and it's how we use them really. And I suppose there's the core element of how to change. So for me, it's about how we move, how we physically get out of the bed in the morning. You know, how you jump out, or do you find it a struggle? Do you say, God, it's morning, or good morning, God? You know, there's a difference in how we actually jump out of that bed. And that's the physiology. Or even if you're walking along the beach and you see people and they're walking with, you know, their shoulders down and their head is down, their breathing is naturally compromised in that position. So instead, even if they only lift up their heads and focus at the sky, that will actually change your physiology and it will actually empower you to breathe even better.
Yeah.
And it's only a very small movement. Physiology is so important that it's the foundation of your well-being. And then it's how you focus. So where do you focus? Where does your mind go when you get out of that bed in the morning? Like, you get up to say, I'm going to have a crappy day. Well, if you are, that's what you will get.
Yep,
instead,
certainly.
If you start to look and say, well, you know, what can I do today? And not even all the time about yourself. How can you focus on, you know, enhancing somebody else's life for the day? Maybe just calling to somebody, or even as you're walking along the street, sometimes it's just the eye contact, just to note the colour of the person's eye. You don't stop, you don't stare, just note the person's colour of the eye, and you smile at that person, and that might change their state for the day. So it's about focusing on, you know, how to change your focus, because where you focus, your energy will go for the day. And then the other one is, my great belief is our inner voice. You know, how do you talk to yourself all day, every day? Remember, we have 60,000 thoughts. How do we actually speak to ourselves? What do we say to ourselves all day? Are we our best friend, or are we our worst critique? And I think, you know, if we're all being honest, if we got a jotter and started off in the morning just for 1 week and looked over what we say to ourselves, would we say it to someone to another human being? I don't think so. So I think we're very hard and cruel on ourselves. So I think it's time to change that.
Yeah, there's a fantastic book I've read a few years back, The Chimp Paradox. And it's about that, as you say, it's just imagining that chimp was on your shoulder and putting all those thoughts into your head, all those negative thoughts, you know, and that's the chat that was going on between the two of them. And it was really, really very, very interesting. And as you say, we probably think a lot more negative than we should. And that's what's really getting a lot of people down. I mean, we're our purpose in life, I think, is to go give and help others, to give to people and to help others, and that makes us feel good alone. Something simple as, you know, it could be anything at all, but you do get a good feeling from it.
Absolutely, as I say, even Eric, even walking down the street, even that simple smile might actually enhance that person's life for the day. I had great fun in Dublin there recently. I just did it for my own well-being, I suppose, as well as everybody else's. But, you know, just noting the colour of a person's eyes and smiling at them, and, you know, it was amazing. The reaction I got from total strangers that came up to me and said, God, you know, you look amazing. And I do work at it myself. And I, you know, even the mirror work is fantastic. You know, when you look in the mirror, what do you see in yourself? And instead, you know, women are great. I don't know how men feel about it. I think the men are gone vain as well nowadays.
Absolutely, yeah.
So women look in the mirror and they don't see on y'all, you know, I'm overweight, I'm too big, I'm too small, I'm too fat, my nose doesn't fit right. You know, even sometimes maybe being too handsome or too beautiful is a problem. So instead, I think it's actually looking in that mirror and saying, I am enough. And, you know, I think the more we do that for ourselves, even, you know, I live alone now, and, you know, before I come out at night, if I'm dressing up to go somewhere, I look in that mirror and I say, do you know what? You look great tonight.
Yeah.
You know, so it's actually affirming yourself.
Yeah, and that's not being vain, as you say. No. It's just affirming your positive frame of mind.
Like, absolutely, affirming who you are yourself, and that's so important. Like, we all look at other people to clap us on the back and to say, well done. I did a talk there recently in a school with transition years, and when I was going in the hallway, I noted that all the achievements were for all the people that had got A's and B's and whatever else. And when I went into the room, I said to them, like, what have you all achieved? And, you know, the crowd that had won the matches and had scored the goals and got the great golf score or whatever, they were all able to say that. Whereas instead I said, well, I've achieved a lot today. You know, I got out of bed. I washed my teeth. I had a shower. I jumped in the car. I had my breakfast. I'm standing here before you today dressed. We all achieve so much every day and we never acknowledge it.
Katie, we were speaking off air there. Is knowledge power?
Well, we were always told, Eric, I think going to school, that knowledge was powerful, and it is, but it's only when we use it. I mean, we're bombarded now by Facebook, by Google, everywhere with knowledge at the moment, so any of us couldn't have the excuse that we don't have enough knowledge. But the biggest problem is if we don't use it and implement it, and that is even going down to the core of the emotional fitness about changing your physiology, focusing on a different thing, and, you know, listening to that inner voice, that language and that meaning that you give it. If you don't start to change that, then you'll get your old story. I call it an old story. Tony Robbins calls it the old story, and he says it's time to change your old story to get a new story. Mm-hmm. So about changing, that's how you change it. And it's when you start to change, get out of the old story, and you ask yourself questions like, what am I gaining from my own my old story? Because sometimes our old story serves us well. You know, we might gain attention from family, friends, neighbours, negatively. Whereas when we get a new story, we create a different life for ourselves, and it's up to us to create our own life, really. And we have that choice, and it's about decisions that you take every day and you make. It's like, if knowledge was so powerful, Unislim and Weight Watchers would have done their job well with all of us. And I can talk myself about weight, because I've often been in the trials and tribulations of it. And thank God today I've given it up completely, in that I have realised that I have a choice. And Jim Rohn does a great thing on, you know, an apple a day. And then he goes, it's so easy to choose an apple a day over your bar of chocolate a day.
Yeah.
And it's so simple, really. And it comes back to us taking our own power and empowering ourselves and making that decision that, yes, today I choose. I choose what I eat. So it's not actually, do we need anyone else to tell us at this stage? No.
No.
You know, we have the power, we have that knowledge, but it's to use the knowledge is what's important.
And that is the choice you make yourself.
That's the choice.
And if you were to give a message for those kids with Leaving Cert results, be it good or be it bad or whatever situation they find themselves in, what message would you give them?
I would absolutely love each one of them to have the belief within themselves that no matter what result they get on the day, that they are enough. And the two greatest feelings in the world, and I've been in the rooms with billionaires to paupers, and all of us feel it, that I'm not good enough and I'm not loved enough. And I think when you actually take those two emotions and actually start to believe them, now it doesn't happen overnight, that I'm good enough and that I am loved enough. And I think if they have that self-belief going forward in their lives, they can achieve many things. And, you know, I would love to find my own Leaving Cert results at this stage, and I'm sure they'd probably have a heart attack at the results. And I suppose one of my limiting beliefs myself was that I wasn't intelligent enough. And in the last 6 years of my life, it has just, out of pain, which comes your greatest gifts, it has transformed. And today, I would never have said 6 years ago that I'd be sitting here opposite you, Eric, at a radio interview. So it just shows you that even in your 50s, it can happen for you. So to all those teenagers, life happens for them. And once they know how to react it, rather than...
And that's, you know, it. Like, I mean, it's all ahead of them. And you know, and one result of one exam isn't going to make any iota of a difference whatsoever. You know, their life there's going to be so much more thrown at them in life, good, bad, indifferent, over the next 20, 30, 40 years. And as you say, we're in our 50s, and you know, you still get a buzz out of it. And that's, I think that's important too.
Well, I was telling one of the girls today, I was reading the book Think and Grow Rich, and he says, you're coming to your own in your 50s. So here we are.
Katie, we're going to leave it at that. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. It was a pleasure talking to you, it really was. And hopefully we'll do it again sometime.